Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift you've given to us, for the blessing you afford us. Guide us by your mighty, mighty power. Holy Spirit, we are thankful. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I realize that when you send people as missionaries, many of them, or not many, some of them cannot do well because, first of all, they are not spiritual people. That's one of the big things. They are not spiritual. You see, when a man fell in the garden, he fell from being God-conscious to self-conscious. He became aware of himself. But before, he was aware of God. Before falling, he was aware of God. After falling, he was aware of himself. Are you understanding? Yeah. Before falling, he was aware of God, the Spirit of God, and God's presence. After falling, he was aware of other things. So that's why anytime you see somebody who is very conscious of certain things, you know he's affected by demons. If somebody is too conscious of what is a man, as men, it's a demon. So, consciousness of God and of who God is very important to distance you from sin. If you are too conscious of a woman, women are this, it's demon. Demons are working. Too conscious of your country. We Americans. So Americans, very conscious of America with a great nation. God is not building a great nation. He's building Christianity. He's building Christ. But too conscious of education. Oh, we, you know, you, these are idiots. And, you know, so we, it's, a demon is working. So consciousness, too conscious of everything other than consciousness of God, awareness of God, and even awareness of yourself and of your sins, is actually, there's something wrong. And it's difficult sometimes to shake off. But the consciousness of God, when you are able to attain to it in the midst of your difficulties, is a high attainment. Yes. It's a great achievement. So, many people are not spiritual. That's all. You don't have the capacity to pray and to wait on God and to just be prayerful. So we are not here to have teachings on prayer. If you want teachings on prayer, I will recommend to you a camp that I did called Everything by Prayer and Nothing Without Prayer. That was a camp. If you want teachings on prayer. Now, we are not here for that. Now, a person who is not spiritual can best be likened to sea sand. Yes. Sea sand. You know, sea sand is different from the sand we have around here, the soil. It goes all the way from black here to white. And white sand, there's a beach called White Sands. It's like an unspiritual person. The person cannot preach. Even if the person preaches, it's more like a lecture. Because when you are spiritual, you don't have to talk much. And then you realize that it's having some kind of effect on the people that are listening to you. What was I telling you about? Yes. Sea sand. Only coconut trees can grow there. Yes. Apart from a coconut tree, nothing works. Yes. Yes. Only coconut trees. Now, we are here. We are here to pray. It's a prayer camp. We are not here for teachings. Amen. But above all, we are here not just to pray for an answer, but to develop spirituality. Uh-huh. This may be the point I'm trying to make. That we need people to be spiritual. You need to become spiritual. How many have noticed that, like, there are some people, they look spiritual? And how many realize that some people don't feel spiritual even? Yes, that's what I mean. Whatever it is, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. Rarely will you find anybody doing something, you see, for God without that particular characteristic, spiritual. A spiritual person of some sort. First Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1 says, concerning spiritual, not gifts. The word gift is in italics. It's not added. It was added by the translators. So, it's concerning spirituality. And you see that he goes on and then he makes a comment. Do you see? And talks about all spiritual things throughout the chapter. Beautiful. But then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, he gives a lot of meaning to what I'm saying by saying that if any man think of himself that he is a prophet or spiritual, any of these two, let him acknowledge that the things that I am writing to you are commandments of the Lord. And this was about women. The verse 34 says, let your women keep silence in the church. It's not permitted for them to speak. They are commanded to be under obedience, which is the meaning of being in silence. But silence means silence. I don't know why. You know, I tell you something. The instructions of Paul, we may soon have to vote about which of them we are going to discard. Yes. Because I can see that the church has discarded a whole series of Paul's instructions, including these ones. And if we are going to discard these ones, if a man is a spiritual, a woman should keep silent. This is the only time that he used that. He said, look, if anybody is spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that what I'm saying is from the Lord. That a woman should be quiet and they should be under obedience. They should be obedient. To listen. So anytime you have a woman who doesn't listen, is not obedient, she's out of the spiritual order. But we will soon maybe have to have a consensus of the things of Paul that we are going to discard. Women should cover their hair, we've thrown it out. Women should wear dress decently, we come to church in trousers. Now instead of covering their hair, it's a new style of everything. Women should keep silent. If you put on TV and almost every channel a woman is preaching. Yes, women are everything. Women should be quiet, no, not quiet. Obedient to husband, not obedient. You have more of them. The Bible, Paul, one of Paul's, we are going to have to add to a list that a bishop should be a husband of one wife. It's also, we add it to the list of things to discard. Yes. Huh? No, because it's like Paul is not writing the word of God. So let's list all the things that are not from God. You see how you are a hypocrite? You swallow a camel, and when it comes to a little ant, you say, no, I can't, it's too big for me. The ant is too big. But you just swallowed a camel few minutes ago. This one is a camel. If anyone says he is a prophet or spiritual in any way, he should acknowledge that this one is from God. That the woman should be under obedience and they should be quiet. You swallowed the whole, you said, we swallow that this one should be discarded. Then a small one. Bishop should be the husband of one wife. Something that all the people that we are following, none of them had one wife. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Solomon, David, the psalmist, all our fathers. Anyway, you can think what you want. But remember that Jesus, the people that he didn't like at all in this world were hypocrites. Yes. He didn't like them at all. Yes. Anyway, you are making me divert from the topic. Yes. If any man think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, these are two high qualities. A person who is spiritual and a person who is a prophet. I think you will not struggle with the idea that somebody is a prophet. But the concept that somebody is spiritual, you see, it's not something that is so common, but it is a quality and a state. Do you see? That you should be in. Yes. And that is why we are having this camp. Not to learn new things. Yes. But to become spiritual. And it's when you are not spiritual that you can't bear fruit. That you send some such a person and a mission for see that He cannot do. He's only doing internet jobs. He's only doing things. It's just a coconut tree is the only tree that can grow there. Yes. After years of working, there's nothing. Because there's something that is not there. Yeah. And that's what people don't realize. Like I was saying, I know the testimony of a brother, of a sister, who went to church. Daniel gave a similar testimony the other time. He went to church and he had decided that he would never go to a church, even if it's a wedding or a funeral. He will never go to the church. Today he has about hundreds of members in his church in the UK. Yes. But were you an atheist?
I believed that there was a God, but I didn't go to church.
You believe there was a God. The person I'm talking about was an atheist. Yeah, sit down. And when he went to church, what did they preach about? And when he went to church, he thought it was a church like in a cathedral, and there was only one member, and he was the only member in the church. So the church was starting, it was a starting church, and he was the first person to listen to an invitation and to come to the church. He was the first. And that's the day that he who said he would not go for either a funeral or a wedding was there, and he was the only person. The person who invited you preached.
No, he did projector.
He did what?
The person who invited me did projector.
Projector.
Yes.
And somebody else did what?
The pastor was on the keyboard. Praise and worship was his wife and another brother.
Yeah.
And then I think there was somebody on drums, and then I was the congregation.
You are the whole congregation. Yes. I was the congregation. Do you know the topic that he preached about?
I think it was Abrahamic success.
Abrahamic success. That's even a nice topic. You can get polygamy out of that. Okay, sit down. But this person I'm talking about was more advanced than him, because he believed that there's a God. But this sister did not believe there's nothing like a God. So somebody invited her to church. When she went, to her amazement, she was the only member. So the congregation was her. And then the pastor came to preach, this time not on Abrahamic success. I'm talking about spirituality. But he came to preach on tithing. Yes. And he preached on tithing for a number of weeks. Yes. And this lady, who does not believe in God, has come to a church where they are preaching about money. Not a Ghanaian, an atheist, from a different culture apparently, and sat there, and the power of God touched the person. You don't know what is the topic. It's not the topic. It's the power of Jesus saving people. Yes. Yes. One brother told me he went to a church, not our church. He was telling me how he got saved. But he was in the church, and whilst the service was going, I think his wife made him go to church. Then he started crying. Yeah. He started crying. And after crying, after church, he went to the pastor's office and started crying in the pastor's office. Nobody has said anything to you. The Holy Spirit has arrested you. Yeah, that's how he got saved. And he's in church today. So, I'm talking about spiritual people. So, the reason why I invited you to come to this camp is not for me to come and stand and give teachings to listen to on whatever. We have a lot of teachings on prayer and even books. But it's the ability to be spiritual and the ability to seek God. You see, that is what I think above all things makes a person spiritual. Why do I say so? Because the Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So a person who takes time to draw nigh to God experiences God drawing nigh to him. The Spirit drawing nigh to the person. And the person also has God around him because he's a God seeker.
That's right.
So if a person is not a God seeker, he is not likely to have much of God around him. Yeah. That's a reality. That's what's missing. Yes. And people cannot seek God. And to seek God, you need to know, because God's power is real. God's power is real. And spiritual things are real, whether you believe in them or not. So my prayer for you is that in this camp, so what in this camp meeting, which is a prayer seeking God camp, you will have the time to be, you see, in as much as we are in a group, you are on your own. Oh, yes. It's not so much of fasting as in seeking God. It's not so much of fasting as it is in seeking God, going away for God. You see, that's why for me, I would advise you not to learn how to eat a lot. Like those who like eat, you like eating and you like food and a lot. You will suffer with God. Your work, working for God will be difficult for you. Because each time you have to seek God means something drastic, something violent. You know, it's happening to you. And it's not a good thing. And so it means that seeking God is something extreme. And it's something unnatural. Yes. You need, because see, there is no prescription in the Bible about what a fast is. What it is. Unlike the sacrifices in the Bible which were detailed. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. To fast is being left. You just say fast. So fasting is like an open check. You can decide what fasting is. That's why every church decides, oh, we are doing 21 days. We are doing 40 days. We are doing 7 days dry. We are doing 5 days. We are doing Daniel's fasting, is a pleasant bread, etc. But ultimately, it is to seek God that and to become spiritual. I mean, if I draw nigh to God and he draws nigh to me and I don't fast, I'll be very happy if God draws nigh to me, even if I haven't fasted. How many would like God to draw nigh to you, even if you haven't fasted? Yeah. So, all the rules that we make, you get what I'm saying? You can make them according to what your belief is. I know a man, I went to visit a church, and they said, we will take you out for lunch. When we went, they showed where the lunch was. I went to dish myself. When they came, they were staring at me. And he said, I said, is there a problem? He said, no. He said, we are surprised that you are eating. Because we invited somebody from Ghana to our church to minister. And he never ate till he left. He said he was fasting. He fasted throughout. Yes. Yes. He fasted throughout. Yes. So the main thing is to seek God. These same people told me a story of a pastor who was fasting for 70 days. And the fast was against a religion. Yes. Yeah, that was his topic. A spreading religion was fasting. I said, wow. And he died after the fast. As soon as he finished, he died. Yes. As soon as he finished fast. He said, the pastor told me, he said that this man was fasting and he was passing through the airport. You can fast when you're flying. He was passing through the airport. So he said, look, I went to the airport myself with water and I gave it into, I said, drink it. And he said he obeyed him and he drank it. He continued the fasting 70 days. As soon as he finished, he died. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Anyway. So, I want to draw near to God. And I want God to draw near to me. And I want you to learn how to draw near to God. I am not interested in sending unspiritual people on a mission. Because many of you are going to be missionaries. Yeah. I believe these are leaders. Oh, who are here? Who are those here? Pastors, leaders, Basanta, Basanta, Center, everybody. I need you to be spiritual. Yes. Now, one day I met a white man. Because of the culture and the accent, the way of conducting himself and the accent and everything. You know, we don't usually associate white people with spiritual things. He was a pastor. So you got a feeling of a certain type of minister. But he came up on stage and he gave a testimony. When he gave the testimony, and he said he had a dream. In the dream, God said this and that. And so on. And then God told him, go here, do this. And I said, because he has a huge ministry. Yes. Not an American, no. You wouldn't think that somebody like that would have them. But as soon as he started to talk, he said that he's a spiritual person. Without being a spiritual person, you never do anything much. You need personally to be a spiritual person. Not just knowing scriptures. Scriptures are important. Because if you don't know scriptures, you don't have an anchor. And your boat will go into any direction, the waves blow you. And there are a lot of waves. A lot of waves. You can go in 1,000 different directions. Yeah. But you need spirituality. And when I say spirituality, I don't mean fasting. But fasting is one of many things. And fasting, for those of us who are like, you can sit down and eat Four balls of kinky. Is it a lot? Oh, the balls are smaller now, isn't it? So four is not. Four is okay. So how many is too much? Eight. Six. Six and eight. You match one. So like six balls of kinky. Eight balls of kinky. You will struggle with spirituality. It's true. Yeah. Spirituality is going to be a struggle for you. Because your flesh is so tuned with a big petrol tank. And it's always being filled. So when you have to even reduce it to half. It's like it's a big thing. Such people don't even know how to drink tea. It's true. Yes. It's true. Because if you had learned moderation, the Bible teaches us to do all things in moderation. If you had learned to do all things in moderation, being only on tea or even coffee or coffee with milk and sugar would have been even enough. I've been on many coffee fasts. I didn't even know I was fasting. I just drink coffee. I'm okay. I just drink coffee. Coffee and biscuit, and I can be there for days. But some of you, when you even look at them, it's like, what happened? It's like a curse to you. So anyone, and I'm not teaching you to drink tea or coffee for cultural reasons. A person who is cultured, so tea is a social drink, especially in certain places. If you don't know how to have a cup of tea, it immediately shows you are from deep within the forest. I don't mean big tea full of milk and sugar. That is not how. No. And when I say tea, I don't mean Milo. Some people think tea is Milo tea, coffee tea. No. That's more of a milky sugar drink. Yes. You didn't know. Yes. But apart from the social reasons, higher social reasons, spiritually, you can't drink tea and just be moving. Or coffee. And just be moving. Yes. People take coffee to stay awake to learn. I have taken coffee to stay awake to pray. See that I'm on coffee. Yes. See that I'm on coffee. I don't drink much of it so much. But see that I'm moving on it. Yeah. It's not that I'm high, but I'm higher. Yeah, I'm higher. Are you still around? Yeah. So, spirituality. If anyone says that he's of these two great things, he should acknowledge. And it is true. The higher you go spiritually, you will realize that a woman is not a man when it comes to spiritual things. It's not. Yes. You will see the difference. All the things he said, you see they are all true. But you will not know it at a certain level. At a certain level, a woman is like a partner. But at a certain level, can never be a partner. Jesus. Yes. Can never be. And if anyone is a prophet or spiritual, he will acknowledge it. But when you get there, you realize there's nothing like a partner. Nothing like a partner for ministry. Yes. But it's not normal, you will not know it. At a certain level, you will see that. Oh, wow. That's why I said that. Anybody who gets there will know. Yeah. If you can get to the level of spirituality or a prophet. If, God forbid, a pastor was not alive. Don't stand up for this one. If a pastor was not alive, I would not appoint his wife as the pastor of the church. I wouldn't take that his wife is now the bishop of the church. I don't see them as partners. Even we the bishops council don't see it that way. Yeah. Some churches it is like that. So you must understand. You know, so spirituality is something to attain to. It's something to attain to. Yeah. You become spirit conscious, God conscious. Father, we block this example of death in the name of Jesus. Refuse it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. You have to be spiritual. Yeah. So I want especially the brothers to be spiritual. Look at Luke 18:29. Is there somebody on this thing, machine? Put it there for us. Okay. Yeah. It says, and he said to him, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left a house, left parents, left brethren, left a wife, left children for the kingdom of God's sake. Eh? Verse 30. Who shall not receive manifold more, or a reward? You actually get a reward, not a punishment. In this present time and in the world to come, have everlasting life. Now, you see, such a scripture. You see, you need to be at a certain level to appreciate such a scripture. Because this one is giving you a reward for leaving your wife. Read it and see. Read it. In English. 29. There is no man on earth who has not left is to leave. It's in English. I don't know if you know English. Leave, left. Present continuous is what? Leaving. And what other? Has left. Left. Will leave. Leaving. Left. Leave houses. Everybody will clap for that. Ah, you are a good man. You've left houses. Parents, don't mind them. They are unspiritual. They are demons. Brethren, don't mind your brothers. Leave wife. Leave your wife. Family man. Children. Unless you don't. Please don't be angry with me. I'm doing this. Take on Jesus personally. Just deal with him personally. You see, if you are not spiritual, such verses don't apply to you. And a stupid person who is just carnal following things cannot apply such a scripture. There's a certain level that you get to that such a scripture can apply. Most people are at the level where you have to listen to a scripture which says, husband, love your wife, which is also from Paul, by the way. Remember, we were going to choose the ones that we may not be following. Since you are into living Paul's scriptures. You should see ladies on stage leading praise and worship in tight trousers. Yes. Tight trousers. And tight whatever, short things and exposing whatever. See them on stage. Leading whatever. We are full, we are receiving all. With new hairstyles and lot of painting. When Peter said that, Charlie, this painting of the face and all this, he has worn all those things. Everybody said, no, 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 you are Peter. We are following Jesus. No, Jesus said, this is the Jesus. It's heavy. Anyway, so my prayer to you is that you become spiritual. Amen. Spiritual. Matthew. Matthew. Matthew 26, please. Verse 36. Well, let's read verse 35. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. You see, one of the signs of lack of spirituality is talking too much and talking quickly. Oh, God has called me. Oh, I'm this and that. Take your time. I'll never do this. I'm always this. You never what? You are only standing by the grace of God. Don't talk too fast. Too much. So when you see people talking a lot, immediately you say, ah, are you Peter? Are you Peter? But verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, sit here. Sit here. You see, spiritual training starts with the ability to sit here. Stay here. That's stay here. Sit down. Yes. And you're not spiritual. You cannot stay. Stay here. For how long? We don't know for how long. Just stay here. While I go and do what I'm doing. Yes. Be around. Unspiritual people cannot sit in one place for a long time. You have to get up. You have to get your phone. You have to get your phone. You have to go out. You have to organize something. You have to see somebody. You have to be on Facebook. Oh yeah. Sit here. Just stay here. That's all. While I go and pray. Something that I don't know how long is going to take. You get it? Yes. Because I'm waiting on God could end this evening. Just, it's over. That's why we give ourselves up to Friday. Because humanly speaking, by the weekend, we may have to report back to wherever. You get it? Yeah. So in case God needs my 24 hours, I'm providing him with 48 hours. 72 times 4 is what? 4 times 24, 96. That's why we declare certain number of days, because you can go and wait on God and he'll speak to you even before you get there, once he sees that you are going to wait on him. Yes, he can decide that he's going to speak to you. Stay here. I told you to come. I've just come. Stay here. Exactly what Jesus told his disciples. Stay here. You stay here and pray. I'm going to pray. While I go and pray yonder. Yonder means over there. The next verse. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. You see, when you are spiritual, you will come to a place where your emotions are affected by spiritual things. You see, some people are only sad by events that have taken place. Oh, I hear the this has happened and so. Oh, it's very sad. Oh, the funeral of so and so is taking place. Oh, that's the widow of. Oh, the whatever is doing. Oh, that's. Jesus was not receiving text that somebody has died. That's why he was sorrowful. He was not receiving information about any tragedy that has happened in the world. Spiritual things made him sorrowful. Spiritual realities made him sorrowful and very heavy. Very heavy. He was heavy to talk to. Heavy to relate with. He was not himself. He was different. You become different when you are spiritual. You see the reality. If you see the realities, you become heavy. Because the realities of the wickedness of man, of the deceptions and the evils, were so abundant. And he was heavy. If you are sent to any country and you go and intercede, if you are spiritual, you become heavy. It will happen to you. You will be sorrowful and heavy. He began to be sorrowful. You see, people, there's not the slightest inkling of spirituality on them. Sorry about what? They are praying for their own physical issues, not about spiritual things, not about anything deeper. Nobody in Jesus' family was dead. No tragedy has happened. When will you be spiritual to the point where you are sorrowful and heavy? Are you from Rwanda? Yes. Heavy. When I went to Rwanda, I felt heavy. Yes. The first night when I slept and I woke up, I got up, I felt I was walking on blood. I see the whole country spiritually. Not, so people go to Rwanda and say, oh, this place has developed. I never noticed all those things. I just noticed the heaviness and the sorrow. Spiritually. I've not seen anything bad. If at all, I saw good things. can't do much for God if you just as a normal person. You need, and you see, so now you see that the person is speaking with some emotion about something you don't know. So how do you get that feeling that you have? You seem to be passionate about this. So how do you maintain your zeal? So how, these are radio questions for radio journalists and so on. Come on, man. Are you a journalist? Read your Bible. Sit down here. So I don't want to see you on your phone outside making calls and so on. You make all the calls. So I tell you, if you are busy, I am. If you have 10 things to do, I have 1,000. I'm more busy than you don't know how. You don't have any idea. You have one thing to do. I have 1,000. All your things will not have to come up to 7 things. The things that concern you that are important. Huh? You do believe what I'm saying? Or you are agreeing with me? If you have one, I have 1,000. Yeah? It began to be soft about what? About the realities. And you said, even though Jesus suffered on the cross, his suffering was brief for a few hours. So he was not being heavy and sorrowful because he was going to suffer. He says, oh, it will be painful. No. God granted him many things that alleviated the pain and made it very brief. His suffering was brief. They arrested him in the night after this prayer meeting, which must have ended around maybe 9, 10. He was taken to Caiaphas' house. In the morning, they dealt with him. And from there, straight, he was taken to Pilate's house. And depending on the account, he was on the cross by 12. He had to be on the cross by 12 to 3. It was finished before sundown. In Israel, when you go, they give the days, and the Sabbath starts 5:30. Yeah, they would give you the time. The Sabbath starts at this time. 5:30 to sunrise to sunset. Sunset to sunrise. Sunset to sunset. The day before, 5:30. So sometimes you see that Sabbath starts at 5:32. Yes. Then it means that nothing can happen. So they have to finish everything before. They have to finish it very quick. It's just a short suffering. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that it wasn't wild, but I'm saying that the sorrow was for more. More, there's more at stake. All of our salvation. All of our lives. The lives of the human race. The wickedness of the devil and the devils who are also a fallen race. There's a lot at stake. And he was sorrowful and very heavy. Yes, very heavy. Are you heavy? That's why sometimes you shouldn't fast. Because sometimes, instead of being able to be caught up emotionally with God and feel God's presence, you are just waiting for 6 o'clock. That's all that you are doing. You see that it's an effort to stay till 6 o'clock. That's the only thing you are doing. So you are not able to relate with God. Yes. Oh, yes. And that's why sometimes when you wait on God, you shouldn't even speak much. Sometimes you have to be quiet. You see, Benny Hinn sometimes talks about be silent before God. Silent. Be silent before God. He often talks about just being silent in God's presence and to experience God in the silence, the beauty of that silence. Yes. Be still. So that's why a prayer meeting is different from seeking God. Oh, yes. Per se. But a prayer meeting can be converted into something that you seek God. If I want to seek God, I won't lead you in a prayer. That's why I wasn't here last week. Oh, yes. I will not come and lead a prayer meeting. When I lead a prayer meeting, I'm not seeking God. I'm leading a prayer meeting. I'm leading you to pray. I'm not seeking God. It's different. I'm now preaching to you. I don't usually become sorrowful and heavy. But I become sorrowful and heavy. Even when I'm going to pray, I become sorrowful and heavy before I go there. And then when I'm there, I become sorrowful and heavy many times. Oh, yes. So the prayer camp is an effort to help you. You see, and the prayer meetings that we have is an effort to help you to pray for a long time. But you see, the praying for a long time is part one out of maybe three or four parts in getting near to God. You see, because if you stay for a long time, you should be able to pray for a long time too. But some people cannot pray for a long time. So praying for a long time is just part. But waiting on God and finding God yourself is a spiritual person. So you are the aim is to make you a spiritual person who can walk around. You may see the person walking alone, quiet. Maybe just that you may be crying. You may be feeling heavy. Heavy burdens, like what is wrong? So we don't feel what is wrong, we don't see anything. There's nothing, everything is okay. Why are you not okay? You can never be used to save souls until you are heavy and you at a point there's some deep burden and sorrow for the things that are so sad. So sad. You know, when I see the violence in the world, you may not notice it, but when I see and hear the violence in Ghana, the murders that are taking place in London, more people were murdered last year than in New York or wherever in America. More killings all over the world, bombings in Kenya, terrorism threats everywhere. You just, oh, the police have to do better. We need more intelligence. You are just a carnal man. You see, you cannot be a missionary. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Yeah. But the more spiritual you become, the more you sense the heaviness. Yeah. If you were spiritual and you were in Ghana, as successive governments come, you'll be reading how to neutralize curses and becoming more sorrowful as you see the manifestations of curses being fulfilled practically and unbelievably before your very eyes. Yes, and you become more heavy and sorrowful because you see that it's hopelessly helpless. The implementation and fulfillment of God's word is hopelessly helpless, like the way it happens. Yeah. Verse 38. Then he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Amazing. When you become emotional with God and emotional in God's presence, you are going higher. Oh, yes. I watched Benny Hinn the other day. 1 year, he was having a crusade. And then he fell down on the stage and started crying. And he wept like a baby. He cried. At first, I wasn't sure who was crying. I thought somebody had been prayed for. So I rewound to see who was crying. He was weeping. Exceedingly sorrowful. Exceedingly. Exceedingly. Exceedingly sorrowful. You know, Rick Joyner said, the Lord said to him in the book, you cannot be my servant without knowing pain. Cannot be my servant. And it's true. There is pain in the world. And you are called to minister to the world who are all sad. They are not enjoying. So if you don't know pain, you may not understand. That's why most people have a certain experience that enables them to minister. They go to prison, they become prison ministers. Or they have this problem, then they start this ministry. So we need to do things without experiencing them. Yes. You don't have to be blind to help the blind. Tarry ye here and sleep. No, watch. Everywhere you see the word watch is talking about staying awake. So the ability to stay awake. Yes. That's why I said that. I grew up learning how to use coffee. If I drink coffee to learn, I'll sleep. When I drink coffee, I sleep. I learned you use coffee to be more higher than I was. Oh, yeah. I have developed, there's a certain taste in my mouth. When that taste is in my mouth, I feel spiritual. Although I may not be so spiritual at that moment, but it has been associated for so long with that type of praying, and yes, that is associated. You know, things that you can associate. There's some music when you hear you feel sad. It's associated with this. There's some music when you hear you feel happy. It's associated with this, and that taste became associated with praying and spirituality and revelation and guidance. I mean, when I think of it, I think of R104 met Kolebu. When we started the church, I feel that I can just eat any one biscuit and coffee, and I'm higher than I was. Everybody say higher and higher. Oh yes. Oh yes. Tarry, just be around, hang around. So you see people say, so what time do we start? What time do we close? That's why you shouldn't come here. That's why you shouldn't come here. What time do you start? What time is the preaching? The time is your nose and your mouth. Yes. We are tarrying. Tarry here. And watch. And the people that were following him were not spiritual. So occasionally you go with some people. And you see that not all of them could go. That's why he told Peter. Put the scripture there. Yeah. Who is that person? He told Peter that, come with me. Yes. Sons of Zebedee. Peter, James, and John. The two brothers, James and John. And then Peter. He said, let's go. Just you guys. The rest of you stay. You don't always have to start. Why are they not calling me? Why have they called me? It's not necessary. Why have they called? They are not calling me for this meeting. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Yeah. What's the next verse? Verse 38. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Verse 39. Then he went a little further. I'm showing you how to be spiritual. And fell on his face. Every prayer that you are praying, you only know how to stand and walk. Look at Jesus. He fell on his face. So you can see that the whole being is drawn up into the prayer. The being of the person is drawn into the prayer. It's not something that we've been asked to be here till 4. His being. He went a little further. And he fell on his face. I mean, anybody falling on his face, it must have something that is happening to him. You see, all I'm saying is that if you, no matter how unemotional you are, look, if you want to ever know an unemotional person sounding and looking, it's Derek Prince. Derek Prince. And when you even hear him speaking, you can easily fall asleep. He himself will tell you. He used a certain word to describe himself. If I remember the word, I'll tell you. Yeah. But when you listen to him for some time, you will see why he had a worldwide ministry. Worldwide. As he got older, sometimes when he gets to a point, he's preaching, he starts to cry. When he talks about the cross and his sins and his life, oh, this is something. Yeah. You have made yourself an iron rod. A sea sand. Spirituality cannot come out of you. Yes. So when you are spiritual, the Bible says you have an unction from the Lord and you know things. Now one day, I was choosing some guys to pray for me. I called them and I said, oh, come to my house and pray. I'll show you where to pray. When they came, I said, no, I don't want this guy to pray for me. Yes. And I changed. Today is an orangu. Yes, full orangu. You know things. You start to know things. You start to see things. You start to recognize people. This person is this. This person is that. I said, I don't want this guy to pray for me. I just remember. And he was one of the most powerful praying people that you can ever find. It looks very powerful. I said, I don't like this person to pray for me. Sounding. So, I like this non-powerful person rather to pray for me. To pray for me, this one should pray for me, not this one. Yes. Now, he went a little further and prayed, saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You see, you can't be praying and not know what you are praying for. Some of you have been praying, don't know what you are praying about. You're just speaking in tongues till 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's why I say that. Seeking God is not necessarily being in a prayer meeting. I would say that this prayer meeting is just showing that it's possible to pray for 2 hours. It's possible to pray for 3 hours. It's possible to pray for a long time. But within the prayer meeting, there's the seeking of God.
Yes.
That's why when you see people on their phone, this busy, whatever, and so on, you see that this one doesn't know how to seek God. Doesn't know anything about it. Yes. If you have 1,000 things, if you have how many things? If you have 10 things, how many do I have?
1,000.
It's true. Those who find it difficult to serve, wait on God are cholerics. Cholerics. Cholerics find it difficult to wait on God. But there's a trick for a choleric to wait on God. Why do cholerics find it difficult to wait on God? Because they always want to achieve something. They want to do, I have to get this done, I have to move, I have to get this done, I have to get this one. But there's a trick. And the trick is to get to the point where you believe and you see that waiting on God is an achievement. Then a choleric will be the most to wait on God than anybody else. Because he sees it as one of his achievements. That's the way. When you make the switch, you see, like the Bible says, Anna, she served God day and night with prayers and fasting. That is a way to serve God, by just praying and fasting. It's a way of serving God. You don't do anything. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. All these many things. If you have 10, I have how many?
Thousand.
Are you still around? Yes. She served God. Look at it. Anna. She departed not from the temple. She was just in the house of God. 84 years. Yes. And I'm raising up more prayer people. Yes. That's why there will be an all night today. There's all day. And from here, I'm showing you the next. From here, we are going to the prayer gardens. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. From here, we are going to the prayer gardens. 100% answers. Your future is secured by the Spirit. Yeah. Huh. Are you listening? Yeah. One of the places most difficult to wait on God is a prayer meeting. Yes. You see, I don't consider a prayer meeting to be waiting on God. A prayer meeting is a training. Every year, I have that conflict. Should I lead the people in prayer, or I should go and wait on God myself? Because it's about time. It's a time. If I do this, I can't do this. If I do this, I can't do this. But I notice that you want to lead the people, to teach the people how to pray. But that's not the same as waiting on God. It's not the same thing. I don't feel I've waited on God. If I lead a prayer meeting, I don't feel I've waited on God at all. It's true. You see, it sounds funny, but it's true. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Verse 30. Then he came unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. So waiting on God includes getting to the point where sleep must come. You see, it's not that the disciples were indisciplined fools, just sleeping everywhere. They go every function you go, you just fall asleep. No. It was time to sleep. It's been a long day. Because all of us here can fall down and fall asleep for me. We have been here praying. You are not fools. You are not indisciplined. You are disciplined. You are here. I mean, it's time to sleep. Are you with me? He findeth them asleep. And he spoke to Peter. You see, but some of us would have spoken to Jesus. When they wake up, said, Jesus, what time are we going? And how long, so that we can text our wives. You are not married. If we can text our wives, so to tell them when we are coming. Jesus didn't have that problem to tell somebody that he's coming. Why have you now come? For somebody to tell you that it's absurd for you to come at this time. Yes. Some people experience that. When they go and they come, they are told that it's absurd. Nonsense. How can you come at this time? Yes. It's amazing. You should have called. You should have said this. Yes. That's what some people experience. Yeah. I pray you will not experience that.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
What? Peter said, what? Jesus said, what? 1 hour? You can't pray 1 hour. Time is important. Mostly because you don't know when you finish praying. I mean, what about if you finish praying at 4 hours, 27 minutes, and you decided to pray for 3 hours? That means you stop praying 1 hour, 27 minutes before the answer landed. So you need longer times to set longer times so that the finishing can be within the hours that you set. Or you don't understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, if you are hoping for a brother to propose to you and you hang around where he is, he may not he may not notice you the first time, the second time, but he may notice you from the 17th time. Yes. So if you decided that I'm going to go for this meeting 3 times and then that's it, it may be the 17th time that he will notice you and he'll say, sister, yeah. It's the same thing with waiting on God. You never know when, you never know how, you never know what, where God is going to answer. But that's where you even learn, when you can hear from God. There are times that God has spoken to me before I went to pray. So he was actually speaking. He saw that I was going. So before I went, as I was packing, then he started to speak to me. And then it was like I didn't even need to go because the revelation that I needed to carry me on was already there. But I still went. I still went. Yeah. There are times that I waited on God. He didn't mind me for the whole time. I was waiting on him. Sometime to the last day. Yeah. He began to be heavy. 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 And sorrowful. So time is of the essence. When it comes to prayer, you can never say, oh, God hears, he knows there's no need to repeat. The one who said there's no need to repeat, the one who was praying for 1 hour there. You have to understand God's word in context. Everything that is said, there's the two sides. Jesus said, your father knows when you useless repetitions. Useless repetitions, but not repetitions. Useless repetitions. Some repetitions are not useless. They are useful. And some repetitions are pressurizing. Could you not watch with me for just 1 hour? Verse 41. 41. The Holy Spirit wants me to say this. That's why I'm saying all this. I didn't plan to say all these things. 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Not fast and pray. So you see, if fasting and praying, watching and praying is more powerful than fasting and praying. Yes. Because why? Because that is a command. Watch and pray. Watch therefore and pray. So praying with alertness is more important than praying with drowsiness and semi-comatose conditions. But it feels more powerful when you are semi-comatose. Yes. During the week, last week, at a point I could see that I was going to collapse. And I've collapsed before. But I could see that I was going to collapse. If I stand up and I see that I'm about to collapse. And I knew that I was going to black out. Yes. It feels powerful. So, wow. I've fasted to the point where, Charlie, I'm going unconscious. It's like I've gone into the spirit. But you benefit more by being alert and being able to pray. That's why I said we're breaking our fast at 4, not 6. Yes. Oh, you don't want the Bible. I'll just you can read any book you want. Now, prayer affects spiritual things and even affects the flesh. That is why prayer, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So pray. It affects the spirit and it affects even your flesh. Yes. Your flesh, which wants to do evil, is affected by prayer. There's power over these things. Because some of the things you are doing, they are spirits. It's true. The suggestion to do certain things, the temptation. It's not always when you feel something that is a temptation. When Jesus was hungry, it was a temptation from the devil. So he didn't follow it. Anything the devil says, anything the devil says, whatever is wrong, anything the devil says, no matter how good it is, don't do it. So it was a temptation. But later on, when his disciples in Luke, I think chapter 7 or one of these, were walking through the field and they took corn and they were rubbing it and eating, they challenged Jesus. Why are your disciples eating? Then he told them that, do you remember when David was hungry? And he went to get food from the temple. Jesus, who when the devil told him when he was hungry, said no. He's giving an example of when David was hungry and he was guiltless. Guiltless. Yes. So it's not always that you have a feeling for something that is a sin. Yes. But when the devil component comes in, it's a sin. And that's why Jesus said, no. No. He said, have you not read what David did when he was unhungered and they that were with him? And verse 4. How he entered into the house of God and did eat shewbread, which is not lawful for them to eat, neither them which were with him, but only for the priests. Verse 5. And have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yes. Blameless. Yes. Anyway, back to where we were, please. Matthew 26. Watch and pray. The flesh is affected. Mm. Yeah. So unspiritual people, they're never able to control their flesh. Women who are very emotional, they can't control emotion and steady and go by logic. It's not spiritual. Don't be deceived. Crying. No. When you grow, you will never receive cry. When someone says, stop it. Even in court, when you cry, say, please, you can go out. You cannot leave. Go out of the court. The judge will ask you, experienced judge, go out now. You have come to try to confuse us and deceive us. Go out. When you finish, you come back. Joshua, is it not in court? Back in the afternoon.
Huh? We'll be back in the afternoon. You just close this.
Who does that?
The judge will close the session.
Have you seen it before?
Yes, a number of times.
Who was crying?
The witness was weeping. And was trying to plead with everybody. He said, please put yourself together. When you compose yourself, and then we'll be back in the afternoon after lunch. So. Yeah.
Compose yourself. Don't come and manipulate the whole court to have mercy on you and to pity you. Yes. So when you can't control your emotions, often you are down. You can't control your flesh. Fasting is impossible. That's why I said that from today, learn how to drink tea. Some of you have never drank. You only buy wache. Buy tea bags. Buy tea bags. Buy tea bags. Mm. go and buy tea. I need 2 tea bags. Not Milo tea. And learn how to be spiritual. Are you listening? Beautiful. It affects your weak flesh. And it affects your willing spirit. It gives your willing spirit the ability to do what your willing spirit wants to do. Your willing spirit wants to serve God. When you pray, it helps your willing spirit to serve God more. And your flesh, which is weak and always pulling you down, it helps you to control this flesh. And it's not only a man who has a fornicating, desiring flesh. How many brothers have a fornicating, desiring flesh? Women also have other fleshes with other things. More things. All right. Verse 42. And he went away again and prayed the second time. Repeating. You are saying we shouldn't repeat. Stupid. Tell your neighbor, I'll slap you if you tell me not to repeat my prayers. My Jesus even repeated his prayer topics. For 2 hours it'd be the same topic. You must have a sense within you that you haven't finished praying about this thing. Never tell you when you know that you haven't finished. That's why I said that if any one of you says that he is spiritual or a prophet, where are my brothers from Rwanda? I want to send you back to Rwanda as spiritual people. In Jesus' name. Yes. You go back to Rwanda as spiritual men. Yes. And you do more for your country than any politician can ever do. I tell you. Yes. All of you. Sit down. Only 3 of you are here. Now only 3 of you are standing. Stand up again so that I count well. I see 2 more there. But I don't see one. One's flesh didn't bring him here. One is missing. Okay. Sit down. How many of you agree with me that when a spiritual man comes to a place, a good thing has happened to that place? Huh? Yes. Best thing. So, those of you who are lecturers in the Bible school, you need to send people who are spiritual. People who know how to wait on God. Don't just be teaching them lectures. If we want to learn philosophy, we go to Legon. All right, I hope it's clear. We need spirituality. We need people that can stay just praying. Hard prayers. Just like Jesus. I'm giving you the example of Jesus, not even Paul. You people have been throwing away Paul's commands. You know yourselves. Choose and you select and you throw away. You watch. More people are going to. I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus doesn't come in 100 years' time. Many of Paul's things will be out. Yes, more. But there are several things. Say, no, this one. Paul was just out of context, you know. A woman should cover her. I mean, how? She should be silent. No, how? How should she be silent? How, Charlie? True or not true? Yeah. So from here, we are going straight to the gardens. Yes. But I'll let you refresh yourself so that you can watch. I don't need you to be in a coma. You'll be saying that, oh, I fast fasted till I was unconscious. I was in the spirit. It sounds powerful. But the more you can watch, be alert, and pray, the more spiritual you'll be. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 43. And he came and found them asleep again. Now, don't be sad when you fall. For me, when I fall asleep, when I'm praying, I don't feel sad. Because I fell asleep when I was praying, and that was the night that I caught the anointing. Yes. So I don't feel sad. No. If you are having a prayer meeting and your pastor is who is leading has fallen asleep, you don't have to. It's part of every extended prayer meeting includes sleep. Oh yes. I can pray for 5 days without lying down on a bed. Yes, I only sit in a chair. I consider it as part of my prayer that of necessity I have to fall asleep, but I will not lie down on a bed. No. I've touched the bed. I only sit down. Wow. Yes. Where I pray and I sleep there. Then I continue. Wow. Oh, yes. It's part of prayer to sleep. Over a long period. You don't have to be encouraged if you pray for a short time. You'll be encouraged if it's a long prayer. Sleep is part of all long prayers. Sleep is part of all long prayers. You can write it down. Sleep is part of all long prayers. It makes space for dreams. Sometimes God needs you to sleep so that he can give you a dream. That's different from short prayers where you're falling asleep. All long prayers include some sleep. Yes. All long prayers include some sleep. Yes. Yes. I mean, if we continue praying, if you've dozed off during from the morning till now, it's normal. You may even have a revelation. And but when you wake up, you see that you've revived. Yes. Sleep is part of all long prayers. Yes. Yeah. So that's why it's like it's a long prayer. So we are here. We are praying. We may go back, come. There's no agenda. We may close on Thursday. We may close on Friday. We may close on Saturday. We're just praying in the house of the Lord. Are you still around? He came and found them asleep again. That's different from those who just come to sleep. See, I know those people. I'm talking to spiritual people. This is a spiritual message. For spiritual people, if you are not spiritual, all the things I'm saying don't apply to you. Oh, yes. The message about the women and all, if you are spiritual and you are, it's only at a certain level certain things apply. It's true. Jesus said, I have many things to tell, but I cannot. There are many things you can't say. Yeah. You can't say that because it's all carnal people. Paul said, I wanted to tell you, but I have to speak to you as unto carnal. I have to talk it. I have to change the message and make it a certain way and then say it. But I can't say things. I can't. If you can become spiritual in this season for the rest of your life, yes. So we are going to the gardens. From here, gardens. We'll be there. Yes. Why not? Find a place. Be around. Listen to messages. If you don't have your message center with you, I pity you. Yes. You need your Bible. You need to hear from God. You need to be praying. Yes. Verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Repetition. For 3 times. 3 hours by our Savior. So those who can't pray 3 hours are not following Jesus to a certain level. Okay? Is it beautiful? Saying the same word. The same word. And we have tongues. Which is even helping us. But you see, you must know what you are praying about. You can't speak in tongues till you don't know what you are praying about. There's a way of speaking in tongues till you don't know what you are praying anymore. When someone asks, what are you praying? So, shabalabalabala. Are you a Buddhist? Verse 45. Then he came to the disciples and said unto them, sleep on now. Yeah, it's okay to sleep now. First, you shouldn't have slept. But your sleep is not going to change the will of God. Sleep on now. Take your rest. The hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed to the hands of sinners. In other words, his prayer is not being answered. He had just been praying that if it be possible. Immediately knew that it's going this way. It's going the other way from how he's been praying. The Son of Man has been betrayed. Yes. All evildoers should take note and learn from Judas. Because Judas never... You see, when you read about Judas, at a point you feel sorry for him. Because you see that he didn't actually intend for Jesus to be killed. If you look at chapter 27, study. Chapter 27 of Matthew. And then when the morning was come, the priest, they took counsel to put him to death. Verse 2, quickly, keep going, changing. When they bound, they led him to Pontius Pilate. Verse 3, keep on. When Judas, which had betrayed him, in the morning, he saw that the thing has turned this way. What? He repented in a way which most Christians don't repent. How? He reversed his actions. He brought the money back to them. The money that he went for them, he brought it back. He said, take your money. I don't want money. You don't know me. I'm a pastor. I don't want money. It's not about money. I didn't do this about money. Because you see, Regina says that Jesus maybe was hoping for Jesus to use his powers. So he was trying to provoke him. I don't know. But he really repented. Bible says he repented himself. And then verse 4. Went and killed. He says, we have betrayed innocent. But no, he was telling them, the man is innocent. The man is innocent. So Judas came and said, the man is innocent. The man is innocent. The man is innocent. He told them that. And he said, they told him, my friend, please, sort yourself out with God. Don't. What is that to us? We don't know what you are talking about. Verse 5. He threw the money in front of them. And he cast the money. Because they were not taking. He just threw, take your money. And departed and went and hung himself. When you read it, you can feel sorry. Now, this teaches you a great lesson. You may not intend to do something bad, but you are doing something very bad. So there are people who are doing bad things and are hurting people. But when you ask them, oh, no, me. And if you look at them, then you ask them their motives. They don't look like they are trying to hurt anybody. People who are doing some negative things, they are doing the negative things and always defending themselves. Me? You don't know. Me? Look. I'm only one. I'm only one. Meanwhile, they are destroying the person. Yes. So watch out. Those who are always claiming. Me? God knows my heart. Have you heard it before?
Yes.
Have you heard it before? God knows my heart. He knows what I'm... God will fight my fights. God will fight my battles. I leave it to God. Tell the butter. But what you are doing is having this effect. What you are doing is destroying the ministry of Jesus. What you are doing is making them kill Jesus. What you are doing is ending the preaching, the nice preaching that we've been hearing. What you are doing is fighting God. What you are doing is killing the world. Me? Me? Is that what you are saying about me today? Have you heard it before? You hear people arguing, never agreeing, never, because they say, me, my intention, my heart, God knows my God himself, Yehovah, yen and adore Hoda. Is the judge. Yeah, this is how people talk. You should know that even though you have a pure heart and a good heart and a good aim, I'm just trying to bring correction. I'm just trying to warn. I'm just trying to prevent. I'm just trying to, even though you have, that's what you are doing. I don't know why he didn't want to kill Jesus. Read your Bible, please. I don't know why you are angry with me today. I didn't write all these things in the Bible, please. You'll hear it by all means in this life. But remember that Jesus said, for Judas, it would be better that he was not born. Which is very serious. I mean, like, I can't even imagine the judgment that is coming to Judas. I can't even imagine it. Because he never said that about all the bad people. But he said that about Judas. I don't know why I'm preaching to you. Because I'm supposed to, we are having a prayer meeting. But you can listen to this message. It will be on the podcast. To help you to wait on the Lord. Yeah. Me? Yes, you.
I was just trying to help.
Really? Judas, if you are going to see him, you want to kill Jesus? Me kill Jesus? Do you know when they appointed me as a financial treasurer? Me kill Jesus? But that's what you did. What you have done and what you are doing, the effect of what you are doing is what you have to. You see, that's why God said, after Eve, he said to her, what is this? What have you done? Do you think Eve All of us are Eve's children. Do you think she I inflict on you cancers, diseases, car accidents, tragedies, sorrows, funerals? Recently, I was in England. I was in a cemetery. As I was driving through, I remembered Eve. I saw the cemetery full of people. I said, hey, this woman. She has brought something into this world. As far as your eye can see, you see the coffins and the graves. As far as the tombstones. Yes. That's why when God asks, I was, what have you done? What are you doing? So you see, you have to find out what is the effect. What are you doing? You are ending the ministry of Jesus. Yes. I was just trying to advise my man of God. You are just trying to advise your man of God. Yes, God has given you. But you are ending his ministry by talking the way you are talking and all this so-called whatever. And you pay heavily. Jesus said, it will be better that you are not born. To be better. You will end somebody's ministry. You'll be shocked. God knows why. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Judas, God knows your heart. You pay. You pay. If I was the judge, I probably would say, yeah, Judas, it's true. You have a pure heart. The last time I saw you in church, you were singing, give me a pure heart. How do you sing that song? A pure heart. There's lots of songs about pure heart. God. Yeah, you sing that.
Lord, make me pure in heart. Make my heart pure and true.
Stop doing that singing. It's continue.
That when they look at me, it's your righteousness they'll see. Lord, make me pure in heart.
Beautiful. So Judas was standing there. Lord, make me pure in heart. Yeah. So, well, that's not what I'm trying to do. I know that's not what you are trying to do, but that's what you are doing. You are supposed to have sex with your husband. You are driving him. You are driving him somewhere. You are sending him away. You are sending him out. Go to town.
Me? God knows my heart. God knows my heart.
God knows your heart. But that's what you are doing. That's what's happening. That's actually what is happening. You are sending him on a mission. You are sending him out there. Yes. Me. God! God should come. Look at Judas. Oh. You people, I don't know whether you are angry with the Bible today. It's very scary. So stop sitting there saying, God knows what I'm trying to do. Those of you who are accusers, accusing every day of this, accusing, you are spoiling your relationship. Fool. Look, I didn't mention your name. You are a fool, you are a fool. But that's what's happening. That's what's happening. If this dream destroyed you, I destroy her. Checking the phone, checking this, accusing this. Why are you looking at this person? Why are you talking to that? You are spoiling, you are clawing down your... Are you saying I shouldn't give... Your advice you are giving is destroying the world. Yes? You are doing the work of the devil, the accuser of the brethren. And you are ending things. Don't say you didn't end it. You ended it. Every pastor has met, at least, depending on how long you've been, 1,000 people who say, me. Is that? One day a brother told me, I gave him an example, something of a Lucifer walking in the midst of the stones of fire. So I was explaining to him that, you see, when you traveled and you were walking in the high places, he told me, me? Are you telling me that I'm Lucifer walking in the midst of the stones of fire? I said, I didn't say you were Lucifer walking in the midst of stones of fire. I'm giving an example that where you've been has affected you. Me! That's why it's not easy to be a judge. If you were the judge sitting there for Judas, many of you would have pardoned. So it was a moment of whatever. But Jesus said it will be better. Because the Bible says, seemeth it a small thing for the Lord to cause you to approach him. Don't think it's a small thing to be brought close. Those of you who are brought close, you don't know what you've been given. Brought close. Seemeth it but a small thing to you, that the God of Israel will bring you close. So a small thing. And then you become Judas. Oh, but I was just trying to bring out the truth. We can't talk about truth anymore. Okay, I won't talk again. And you become moody. And you've made your face. Anybody can advise you. It's not a small thing for God to bring you near. So take it carefully. Judas ended Jesus' preaching, ended Jesus' travels, ended Jesus' healing, ended Jesus' casting out of the devil, ended his life, cut short if he was going to marry, prevented his marriage, prevented everything, cut off his whole world, and ended him brutally in the hands of wicked people. So I did, me, Judas, you are calling me a bad person. I don't want to swear out. Let me nail down. Let out tell you something. You've not seen it before. You've not heard it before. God will fight for me. What you are saying, I can't believe it. You have some tissue. Stupid fool. Learn from Judas. Oh. I'm afraid as I'm preaching, I'm watching, I say, Jesus, I didn't intend, I'm not intending to do this, but that's what I am doing. That's the effect of what you are doing. Now, Judas came to Jesus. And he answered, Is it I? He said, thou hast said. Verse 26. Ah, yes. So Jesus warned him, is it I? He told him, you are the one I'm talking about. So he was warned. Like you are being warned as I'm preaching now. You people, the preaching you hear is more than counseling. Yes. It's swimming into every area of your life. Because nobody can say certain things to you. If the person even attempts, you will be rebuffed. On a number of occasions, my pastors have been driven out of people's homes. Yes, they've been driven out. Go. When they go, they say, walk out. One lady, she told the pastors, Why have you come to browbeat me? So they didn't understand the browbeat, so they went to check from the dictionary. You can check the browbeat. Check browbeat. You can't come and browbeat me. You can learn English by being a pastor. Intimidate. Typically, to doing something with stern or abusive words. Huh? To use threats or angry speech. So she told the pastor, you can't come and browbeat me in my house. Walk out. They walked out humbly, like humble dogs with their tail between their legs. They walked out, browbeat. You can't even say anything to them, so you don't say anything anymore. May you never be at a place where nobody can say anything to you about anything anymore. Stand to your feet. Well, how long have I been giving the prayer topic for? Amen. I'm yet to give you the prayer topic. You know, I was actually coming to give you a prayer topic, but I've not given you the prayer topic. But I believe that this is more than a prayer topic, because it's a topic to make us spiritual. Amen. So we are going to spend the next 1 hour or so praying for spirit. I want to be a spiritual person. Amen. How many want to be spiritual or a prophet? So I, one of the two, either spiritual or a prophet. So we are going to pray, God, make me spiritual or a prophet. Now, I told you, you can never pray well or wait on God without time. So we are going to pray till about 6, getting to 6. And then we'll break. We just, this is a short prayer, just an hour plus. That's short for those who are prayerful. 1 hour prayer is short, one of the shortest prayers you can pray. Like you are not serious, you just pray for 1 hour. How many are learning that? I'm sending spiritual warriors into the world. Many of you are going to be missionaries. Many of you are going to the nations of the world. Many of you are going to be the answers to people's problems. Many of you are going to be mighty pillars. Yes. See a pillar like this? It's a mighty pillar. A lot of things are standing. There's a lot under. So before you see this one, I don't know if you can imagine how deep. If I go into the hole, it's far higher than my head. The hole of where this is coming from, under the ground. Far below where I'm standing. I would descend about 2 or 3 floors before you get to the foundation. So you need something. People just see the tip of the iceberg. But there's much more. So we are going to pray a short prayer for just about an hour. After that, we are going to take a break for about 2 hours. And then we'll start in the prayer gardens. And over the whole school, the only thing, you don't have to step on a snake. That's all. Yeah. But you will not step on a snake in Jesus' name. And all over, we are praying, oh God, the same thing. Yes. So I don't know whether we have to come here first before we go to the gardens? I think so. We'll gather here. And then from here, we'll go to the gardens to pray. There. We'll be praying till when? Till your nose comes off. Your nose. You see, I don't want to insult somebody. You get what I'm saying? do you want to know for how long? I tell you, a time is going to come. You wait on God. You see that you just sleep is just a break in your waiting. That's why sometimes when I'm waiting on God, I don't go to the bed because I don't see the need of sleeping on the bed. I just sit in the same place. The place that I'm praying, I stay there and then I sleep. And when I finish, wake up a few hours, then I continue. You are just in one long prayer. There is sleep involved in all long prayers. Is it fantastic? Yes. God is blessing you powerfully. How many realize that if I send you after this camp, I'm sending a spiritual person? Yes. Kaya basha kabaya. How many realize that you are not so spiritual? Yes. Some of you are in the Bible school, but you are not spiritual. But you are becoming spiritual. That's the essence of the school, is to produce spiritual people. If you want intellectual knowledge, I will suggest so many universities to you where you can go and get a degree. We don't give secularly accredited degrees. We give spiritually accredited diplomas and degrees. Amen. Hallelujah. If any man think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So these two ranks, I need you to have it. Either a prophet or a spiritual person. Yes. Lift your hands, holy hands. Father, we pray for spirituality, deep spirituality, to engulf us, to take over our lives, cause us to be filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where we are spiritual. Cause us not to be just human and earthly minded, carnally minded, but spiritually minded. Minded. Spiritually minded. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sit down, please. Now, I want to just, before we continue in our prayer, and because it's going to be on a podcast, you can listen to it. So it helps you when you are praying. Listen. You see, there's a difference between a prophet and a spiritual person. But don't misunderstand. A spiritual person is a very great person. Now, a prophet will see a vision, a dream, or hear God in a certain way. Now, if you take, there are other people who are not prophets, but are deeply spiritual. You see, and the person that comes to mind is John Wesley. You will not read of John Wesley's dreams or visions. No. But you can't walk far in Ghana
without seeing his fruit on the earth. Yes. The spiritual man came to the world, very spiritual, with a deep desire to be perfect before God. So when he was dying, you know, there was a lady who had been appointed to look after him. So she was asked to move to the house, to stay in the house and look after him. About maybe a month or two, I think, before he died, she was asked to come and look after him. He had been alone. His wife was away or left him for 20 years before, and then he was alone after she died. When he died, he was informed later. And he was deeply spiritual. Deeply. Don't underestimate a spiritual man who doesn't see visions as you call them visions. It's like somebody was talking about one man of God and he said, oh, Papa doesn't see visions. Yeah, Papa doesn't see visions. They were talking about somebody. So he doesn't see visions. But the man they were talking about, he calls himself a prophet. He says, I'm a prophet. So a spiritual person is a mighty tree from which many things are coming out. You see, when the children of Israel, the Joshua generation came out, God told Joshua, take stones from the middle of the river and bring them out onto the land, 12 stones, and form a memorial. What does it speak of? It speaks of the new generation are taken out of the spirit. The Jordan River, the spirit, are taken out. This is a spiritual generation, not a rebellious generation. But they were born out of the Jordan River, and a new thing is being established. Hallelujah. So, you must see that as a new generation out of the river, out of the Jordan, and you are part of that new generation coming out of the river. Yes. Now, William Branham, for instance, was a great prophet. Our Crewem Museum is soon going to have all these prophets. You see them there. But you can't go outside and find his fruits. No. Yes. Kenneth Hagin was a very great prophet, but you can't walk out and see his fruits. Yes. So don't underestimate the greatness of spirituality, which Paul was making a difference, that there are different types. Because you may think that a person who is seeing visions and dreams and hearing God's voice is the only spiritual person around. Oh, yes. But amazingly, you see a person like John Wesley, and there are several deeply spiritual people, and they produce much fruits all over. All over. Yeah. So he said, if any of you is a prophet or a spiritual person, he should acknowledge what I'm saying is from God. Kashakusa kapayanalama. So your duty is to be deeply spiritual. Even if you are not a prophet and you are not seeing visions and dreams, you are spiritual. Very spiritual. And God speaks to you. It may not look like, oh, I saw Jesus yesterday. He said I should tell you that this. Or I saw an angel on Friday. Three angels are sitting on the stage now. Can you see there's one here? No, they are all three of them are here. There's another one here. There are three here. There's one here. It may not be like that. There are people who, when they look, they just see angels. It's just like that for them. Yeah. Yeah. So, but these are two great ranks in the spirit. It's another categorization. Yes, a prophet or a spiritual man. Yes. Are you still there? You see, if you take even when Jesus was saying that in the last days, this was going to happen. Like joke. Everything that Jesus said is being fulfilled to the last detail. In the days of Lot, the days of Noah, like joke. We have entered the days of Noah and fully in the days of Lot. Franklin Graham, you know, I saw he was going to England. Well, Billy Graham was preaching in England for weeks. He even went to see the Queen and all that. And his son, Franklin Graham, was supposed to go to America, England. And they said they should not allow him. He's anti-gay. Yeah. They should prevent him from coming to the UK. Wow. Just a normal Christian preacher. Wow. Amazing. Where we've reached. So you see, it may not look so much like a prophet who is seeing a vision, seeing something and saying something spooky. Be careful of spiritual people. Very careful of spiritual people. That's why I said, if anyone says he's a prophet or spiritual, one day I was with a pastor much older than myself. I was privileged because he invited me to come and eat with him. So I went to eat. I wasn't interested in the food. I was interested in what he was saying. I ordered anything to just keep the time going longer. Everything he said confirmed what he said. What Paul said. My realize was a deeply spiritual person from his experiences. But when he was younger, he didn't believe all that. He told me, I didn't believe all these things. So spirituality, but he's not a prophet, but he's a spiritual person. Yeah. So in this meeting, in this season, we are becoming either a prophet or a spiritual person. Tell your neighbor, either a prophet or a spiritual person. Is it beautiful? Is it fantastic? Is it a good aim? Yes. If I was a girl, I wouldn't want to marry somebody who is not either a prophet or spiritual. Yes. I wouldn't want to marry a brother who is not a prophet or a spiritual. Because if you are not spiritual, you behave like a normal man. And a normal man is attracted to many people. He's attracted to you today. He's attracted to somebody else on Wednesday. Wednesday, you see somebody else. How many brothers have been attracted to somebody on Monday, somebody on Tuesday, somebody on Wednesday, somebody on Thursday, somebody on Friday, somebody on Saturday? If you are here, raise your hand. You get what? Confused. Yes, you get confused. Morning, evening. Sometimes you can be attracted to somebody in the morning, another person in the evening. But when I say these things, people think I'm being unethical or maybe I'm being immoral or I don't know what. I don't know what you are diagnosing me. Your mouth, like whatever. But the brothers are owning up. Yeah. Is it true?
Huh? Sometimes in the morning and then in the afternoon. Sometimes just a few hours difference. Yeah, it's true.
You see now? It's not that I'm being tell me, but it's not unethical. It's real. Yeah. I feel the presence and the power of God. Yes. I feel God is here. And I feel that people who are nothing are being overshadowed by his power. Amen. And his power is turning you into something.
Amen.
Yes. That's what I feel. I feel it. So, enjoy that presence and receive the presence which makes nobody a nobody. Amen. Into somebody.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 So as his presence is here with you, be blessed, be healed,
amen.
Be delivered,
amen.
Be rescued,
amen.
Be called,
amen.
Be anointed,
amen.
Be empowered,
amen.
Yes. Be changed,
amen.
Be healed,
amen.
Be set free.
Amen.
Goliath is lying down before you.
Amen.
Only the presence of God can do that.
Yes.